Picture it. You have to introduce yourself to a total stranger by handing them a mixtape made up of songs that tell the story of you. What songs are on the tape? Why are those songs there? Got you thinking, right? We put that question and many more to a different guest every episode on Made You a Mixtape. Life, work, and the music that makes people who they are today. Authors, musicians, broadcasters, podcasters, everyone has a soundtrack. Download and listen on all audio streaming services today. Made You a Mixtape. It's not what your songs are, it's what songs are you.
Warning, please be aware that the views on this podcast are limited to the individual or individuals that are speaking and only pertain to them as it relates to the topic at hand. They are limited to time, date, location, planetary system, galaxy, universe, and plane of existence. Thank you for your understanding. Goodbye.
What is up, weirdos? You're listening to the Manic Pixie Weirdo. I'm Abigail, your host, and this is the podcast where we talk about all the different kinds of relationships that we have in our lives. This week, guys, oh my gosh, it's episode 50. I'm so excited. We made it. We did it. 50 episodes. Oh, thank you guys so much for sticking in there with me. Your patience with me. I really, really, really appreciate it. This journey is, it's going. It's an adventure, it's a journey, it's a quest, it's all the things. But we made it to 50! Oh my gosh, I'm so excited! Thank you guys so much for listening and all your support. It's been so overwhelming and amazing and very, very much appreciated. So grateful for you guys. So much. So grateful. Second order of business. Housekeeping. We are going to, because this is the 50th episode, it's kind of like a roadmark for the podcast, I would say. I think so. Because we've made it this far. So I'm going to switch stuff up a little bit. So instead of doing the What's Up Weirdo Wednesday shout outs every other week, I'm going to have to go to doing it to once a month, at least for right now, because things are just like so busy that, yeah, I need to kind of pull back a little bit on all of this stuff. So I'm trying to like reorganize and reshuffle everything so that I can keep getting these episodes out to you guys while also being able to stay on top of like my work and my other projects that I'm working on. So we're going to go to once a month for the What's Up Weirdo Wednesday shoutouts. So I hope that's okay. You can still get them in. Email manicpixieweirdo@protonmail.com. DM the Twitter. That's the best place. That or the Instagram are the two places that I check like the most. So the Twitter is @mpweirdopodcast. The Instagram is @main_weirdo1. DM, feel free. Email all the stuff if you want, so you can get your shout outs in if you want one. If you don't, totally fine. It's whatevs. Nobody cares. It's completely fine. But if you do, get those in there and just keep a lookout for it. I'll do a couple of like announcements throughout the month just so that people can get their shout outs in and their promos in for like other podcasts and all those other things. But we are going to go to once a month for the What's Up Weirdo Wednesday shoutouts, at least for right now. At some point, we might go back to the every other week. But for right now, I really need to focus on some other stuff that I'm working on. And so I'm going to have to pull it back for just a little bit, maybe. Maybe permanently, maybe not, but just for like right now. So just sort of an announcement for that. But okay, so because it's the 50th episode, we're going to talk about my relationship with the concept of reality. And next week we have deep, meaningful conversations on, oh my gosh, it was such a great time talking to them. Go check their podcast out. It's so good. I really, really enjoy it. It's right up my alley as far as like the philosophy stuff goes. And so that, just go check them out. It's super good. I highly recommend it if you're like into philosophy or like the morals and ethics of things or like definitions and like deeper thinking, deep meaningful conversations. If you're into that, then like definitely go check it out. So that's kind of what this episode's going to be. And the reason that I chose to do it for the 50th episode, one, I kind of didn't choose it. It just sort of worked out that way, which I thought was really fun. But two, it's like one of my favorite things. It's like one of my all-time favorite things to go down the rabbit hole so that you guys don't have to. And you're welcome to follow me down the rabbit hole. That's what this whole episode is going to be. I'm going to go down the rabbit hole explaining my thought process of like how I've gotten to certain places with the concept of reality. So we'll go into like the philosophical ideologies of it all and, you know, sort of those overarching intricacies, I guess, of, you know, ontology. But so, okay. My relationship with the concept of reality. So my brain, right off the bat, goes to a definition. I need to, this is just, my brain is weird, okay? I'm a freaking weirdo. I'm a ridiculous person, but I'm a weirdo, like just completely. My brain is super weird, okay? And so this is, you're gonna kind of get like a peek behind the curtain while we go down this rabbit hole together, okay? And I'm going to walk you through it. It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Take my hand. We're going to do it together. If you don't understand anything, email me at manicpixiebirdo@gmail.com. I will answer your questions. But I will also try to answer questions along the way. So just bear with me. It's going to be okay. Don't get super scared, okay? Don't get super, super scared. So my brain first goes to, well, we must define what reality is first. Okay, we have to first define what that word means before we can do anything else. Because if we don't know what it is, if we don't have a definition for it, if we don't know what it is or what it means, then for me at least, the rest of it's kind of completely useless because we could be talking about something totally different. And that's where like confusion starts. And that's also where like emotions and stuff start to get really, really heated. Because there's a miscommunication. We're not talking about the same thing. So right off the bat, we have to define what reality is. So we're going to go through a couple of definitions. We're going to go, not just a couple, because a couple is two. We're going to go through several. Okay, this is the scale. Side note, this is the scale. There's single, which is one, a couple, which is two, a few, which is three, and then several is four or more. Okay, that's the scale. That's just the scale. We're going to controversial statement right here on the Manic Pixie Weirdo. That's the scale. So we're going to be going down several different definitions. So that means four or more. So strap in, gather round, make sure your safety belts are securely fastened. Emergency exits are nowhere to be found along this route. Unless you want to parachute out, which means just hit the stop button. It's fine. But emergency exits are nowhere to be found unless you want to bail out completely and the podcast. Otherwise, let's do this. Don't know. Don't ask. Don't ask those questions. Don't. What was that? Doesn't matter. It's not important. Okay. The first several definitions that we're going to go through are ones that I, how do I say this nightly? Nightly? Exactly. How do I say this nightly? They suck. They're terrible definitions. I don't like them. I think they're stupid. And yeah. So the first definition is from the American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language, 5th edition. Reality. They define as a noun. So there's three definitions. We're only going to go off of the first. No, fuck it. We're going to do all three. Okay, so reality is a noun. And the first definition is the quality or state of being actual or true. Second definition. One, such as a person, an entity, or an event that is actual. Three, the totality of all things possessing actuality, existence, or essence. Absolutely not. Fucking throw it out. It's garbage. It's complete garbage. I hate it. I hate everything about this. All three of these definitions, I hate them. I hate them because they don't clear anything up. They don't make it, they don't tell you anything. They don't actually explain what reality is. okay? They use words like actual or true. Well, okay, here's my problem with actual or true. You haven't yet told me what actual is. I don't know what actual means. And if I have to now go and look up another word to understand a definition of the word that I originally was looking for, then I automatically think it's a bad definition. That might not be true for everybody. That might not be even like a sound argument. That's just how my brain works. If there is a word in the definition that I'm already like, well, what the fuck is actual? Or true. What does that even mean? Then it's automatically an invalid definition in my world because you haven't explained what it is. You haven't told me anything. You've just sent me now in like this circular loop where, you know, I'm now just looking up definitions for stuff and not actually understanding what the word means. Okay, so that's my issue with all three of those, because they're all kind of variations of the same of that very first one, the quality or state of being actual or true. So they're all three of them are kind of just variations on that. But if there's no, but I don't know what that means, actual. I don't know what that means, true. What are you talking about? That could be anything. That could literally be anything. So I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Okay. No, this one's great. This one's just, mwah, chef's kiss. Like, this is just so bad. Okay. Merriam-Webster's dictionary for the definition of reality is the quality or state of being real. I'm going to say that again. The quality or state of being real. You cannot use the word in the definition. Okay, you can't do that. That's cheating. 100% that's cheating. It also tells you nothing. You cannot use the root word, because the root word of reality is real. You can't use that word in the definition of the word you're looking at. Okay? It's not a thing. Well, apparently it is a thing. Actually, 100% it's apparently a thing. It's a bad thing, though. I don't like it. It annoys the shit out of me. Not good. Not good. I hate it. I hate everything about that definition. The quality or state of being real. Well, what does that even mean? What is real? Define real for me. What does that word mean? You can't just be like, well, it's real. That's how you know it's in reality. Well, you've told me nothing. You've done the circular thing, that circular logic of saying, well, if it's in reality, then it's real. Therefore, it's real because it's in reality. What? You paradoxed something that you don't have to do that. It doesn't have to be this way. I don't know how many times I say that. It doesn't have to be this way. Stop it. Okay. As it turns out, that's also the definition from dictionary.com. So that's wonderful. Now, this has to be one of my all-time favorite worst definitions that I have found. So, from the Free Dictionary by Farlex. I don't know, it's thefreedictionary.com. also uses, they basically just cheat and use the that very first definition that I said. But this is beautiful. This is great. But they also say reality is defined as what is real or exists, resemblance to what is real, something that constitutes an actual thing. Beautiful. That borders on, like, it's so bad, it's good. Like, it's one of those for me where I'm just like, what? Huh? And this is why nobody uses your fucking dictionaries, okay? I'm sorry, it's a controversial statement, but this is why nobody uses your stupid dictionary definitions, because they're dumb, okay? And nobody understands what you're talking about. People are just like, well, that wasn't helpful at all. So that's fun. Now, shockingly, for some people, this might be shocking. I was also relatively impressed. Wikipedia. Hey, what's going on, Wikipedia? I am actually relatively impressed with your definition of what reality is. So this is what they say reality is. Fear not. It's okay. I will walk you through it. So the Wikipedia definition is of reality is the sum or aggregate of all that is real or existent within a system, as opposed to that which is only imaginary. Now, it's not terrible, okay? It's not nearly as bad as some of those other ones that we read. Points docked for using the word real, and then also bringing in a new big word, imaginary, because if we don't know what real is, then how the fuck are we supposed to know what imaginary is, okay? But it's way better than those other definitions, I would say, because at least there's some meat to it. At least they talk about, so the sum or aggregate of all that is real or exists within a system. I like this exists within a system because it's general enough that it can encompass a lot of things, but it's specific enough, you know, where it says, as opposed to that which is only imaginary. Now, that's where I start to get, because so there is this idea that in order to know that you have, and it works both ways, okay, it works both ways. In order to know that you have nothing, you must first then have something to compare it to, right? Because if you don't even know what that thing is, like there's it's really hard to explain what a thing is if you don't have something to compare it to. So, like, for real and imaginary. I understand what they're trying to do there. It makes sense to me what they're trying to do. I still take issue with it for a number of reasons. Because you haven't told me what imaginary is, and you haven't told me, and also I don't know what the difference is. Like, you haven't explained what the difference between imaginary and real is, and so you still, and you use that word in the definition, so gotta dock you some points on that. But you understand what I'm saying? Like, so in order for you to know that something is real, you must also now, based on the Wikipedia definition, you must also now define what imaginary is, which means that you now have a problem because you not only have to define real and or reality, because reality is a, I believe it's the noun of real. Well, it's a descriptive, so it's like an adjective, I guess. I don't fucking know. If you can't tell, I'm not that great at English. I don't know, like, that shit, okay? Yeah, I wasn't that super awesome at grammar. Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. Actually, it's not irrelevant. It's very much relevant. But, you know, you get what I'm saying, okay? So you must first... So now not only do you have to define real, but you now have to define what this imaginary thing is, too. You have to define imaginary, because if I don't know what imaginary is, then I have, no, like, you don't have a place to start. Basically, you're just, like, floating around. You're not doing, you haven't told any, you haven't explained anything to anybody, okay? Because if I don't know what imaginary is, then how am I supposed to know what real is? And it works both ways. If I don't know what real is, then, like, everything's imaginary, kind of a thing. You understand what I'm saying? Like, if you don't have a definition, a very specific definition for the word reality or real, then it's very hard for people to be like, well, but that's just, I mean, because then everything could also be, like, if you say it's real, but without telling me what, without defining what real is, then fucking anything can be real, including things that would be considered imaginary to people. So you have to, you cannot use the word, the root word, or any form of the word, really, in the definition, at least not for me. In order for it to, like, go through my, like, ridiculous process of defining a word, you can't do that. It doesn't work for me. My brain goes, well, you've told me anything. You've just sort of gone around in a circle and then told me that I should understand. But that's, like, not how it works. So it's not how understanding works. At least not for me. For some people might read that and go, oh, I get it. I look at that and I go, well, that's bullshit. Okay. So now we're going to start, if you haven't noticed, we're going to start getting into the philosophical part of it, which is like my favorite. I love it. 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 I am somebody who really likes to go down the rabbit hole, all of the rabbit holes. It doesn't really matter which. I'm going to follow them all until I basically, like, until there's a dead end and I can't do it anymore. But I am somebody who, especially when I am feeling very panicky or out of control, I like to kind of just dive in to the philosophical thing because it helps my brain. I don't know why it does. It helps my brain and it relieves some of that pressure off, and I get a sense and a feeling of control and also freedom. Kind of a weight lifted when I go down these rabbit holes, especially the philosophical ones, because philosophy is all about, like, thought and depending upon and arguments, and your arguments have to be sound. They have to be, or people will call you out on it. Like, it's a big thing. And that's what inspires, like, negotiation and debate and those kinds of things, which I really, really, really enjoy. And so it's a very, I'm a ludicrous person. It's very calming for me to dive into the philosophy and the philosophical side of this stuff. So stay with me. I will explain this as best as I can, and try to answer some questions along the way. So, okay. So it doesn't, I don't want to just rag on the Wikipedia's definition, because they do continue to go on and, like, talk about it. And so I want to kind of give you, like, this full beginning paragraph, not all of it, but, like, some of it, so you understand why I'm a little bit more lenient toward the Wikipedia definition rather than those just, like, one sentence definitions that don't really explain anything at all about what reality is. The term is also used to refer to the ontological status of things, indicating their existence. In physical terms, reality is the totality of a system, known and unknown. Philosophical questions about the nature of reality or existence or being are considered under the rubric of ontology. It's a branch of metaphysics. They do go on to, like, talk about this, but it's a branch of metaphysics. And, like, the metaphysical world, that's, like, the point. But ontology is just, like, if you've heard of Parmenides, or there's several. Thomas Aquinas, to a certain extent, he goes on, I mean, he would be most, like, philosophy 101 classes teach Thomas Aquinas because of his ontological argument. But that's just something totally different. Just ignore that. That's just a big word that doesn't mean anything really right now. But ontology is it's a branch of philosophy that studies, you know what, I'm just going to read you what it is. Okay, so again, this is from Wikipedia. Ontology is a branch of philosophy that studies concepts such as existence, being, becoming, and reality. So, based, like, that's all ontology. No, Abigail, no. Ontology. It's an O. O-N. So, ontology. That's just basically what, when somebody says ontology to you, like, they study ontology or whatever, like, that is just a very fancy way of saying that they study existence. They study... like the philosophical thought of existence, what that means, what is reality, like all of these different kinds of things. So now that we've got that out of the way, you kind of understand that. Hopefully that like explains, sorry, I needed to get a drink. Hopefully that kind of like explains a little bit of what, of like where we're going with this. Okay. Now, I came up with my own definition of what reality is. But in order for me to get to that point, I went back. You got to go back. And I went back through history. And there are many, 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 many. I mean, human beings have been around for like a while, you guys. I don't know if you've noticed or if you know this, but we've been kicking rocks for like a while on this little blue and green marble whooshing around another fiery marble for like a while. Like, we've been here for a minute for sure. According to the side note, according to like the evolutionary clock, we've literally been here for like 12 minutes kind of a thing. If you don't know what that is, it doesn't matter. It's not really pertinent to this. But so my point in saying that is that we have, because we've been around for so long, these are questions that have already been asked, okay? All of these things, what is reality? What is existence? What is the difference between reality and imaginary? Between real and imaginary? What is the difference between reality and a dream? Like, what is, these are things that have been asked for so long, okay, that it's not even funny. So, like, there are so many people. I am not the first, nor will I be the last person to ask this question and try and come up with my own answer, because these are questions that have plagued the human race since basically the beginning of our existence and we became sentient, kind of a thing. We're going to start with Western philosophy, and then I will get into like Africa and Asian philosophy and South American philosophy. Probably some Central American ideologies as well. I just want to kind of go ahead and preface this by saying that it's super fun and it's very interesting for me. I love the idea that when I started going down this rabbit hole to like find the answer to this question, what is reality? When you go back and you start looking at all of the different civilizations that have existed, and the philosophers within those civilizations, and the orators, and just everybody that has like existed and asked this question, the thing that I found super interesting is that they all are rooted in the same basic idea of, you can tell whether or not you're in reality by your senses. So what you can touch, what you can see, what you can taste, what you can hear, those kinds of things. That is a running theme throughout everybody's definitions. Every single person that I have found, now obviously, I'm one person, okay? And the internet is insanely massive, okay? It's infinite for all we know. And, I mean, well, we do know it's infinite, but that's, I get off topic. But everybody that I have found, and it didn't matter what culture I pinpointed, it did not matter. There was always that underlying thinking of, it's based on your senses. Now, they are They do vary. The definitions do vary very much. They vary very, 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 very much. And depending upon which, obviously, which culture I am referring to. So yeah, so I'm going to try and just like break it down a little bit. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to get to like everybody. There's just no way. There's like not enough time. If you guys like this episode, I can definitely do more like this. I probably will do that anyway, just because I really enjoy, this is like one of those things that I really enjoy talking about, but it would be like, it would be so long. It would be like 100-part episode. I'd have to probably do it as a series if I did, like if I went through every single person, but so I'm not obviously going to be able to do every single person. So I'm just going to start with René Descartes. He was a French philosopher in the 1600s. Specifically, I'm going to be talking about his Principles of Philosophy, which was published in 1644. And the reason that I chose this one to start with is because he's considered like one of the grandfathers of modern philosophy. And he famously is probably most famous for saying, "I think, therefore I am." Now, people have interpreted that in a lot of different ways. In relation to, I'm just going to read you the back of this. This is The Principles of Modern Philosophy, René Descartes, translated by John Veitch. I don't know which edition this is, because it does, this is the 2008 edition. Okay. So, like, the back of this, about just a little bit about him, he was born in 1596, he died in 1650, is hailed as one of the greatest thinkers of the modern age and considered the founder of modern philosophy and the father of modern mathematics. He studied law, and he paved the way for calculus and the scientific revolution with his founding of analytical geometry. And they do go into those things in his Principles of Modern Philosophy. He has written a lot, just a very interesting person. Like, I find him a very, very fascinating figure in philosophy just because of his story. But okay, so yeah, so he said, "I think, therefore I am." And like I said, there's a lot of different, like, various and sundry interpretations that people have had about that. Now, "I think, therefore I am," he said as a statement. It was a statement meant to sort of be his justification for the answer to the question of, how do you know you exist? How do you know from a philosophical perspective that you exist? And he said, "I think, therefore I am." Basically meaning that because I have the capacity to think and I am aware that I am thinking, therefore I exist. Now, I just did a podcast with Travis from the Debatable podcast. It was so much fun. I did a podcast with them, but I just did an episode of Primetime with Travis T. Go check that out. It was so much fun. I had a blast talking to him. And we kind of touched on this a little bit. Like, I talked to him about it, and he was saying that somebody had told him at one point that, like, the only thing that we can empirically prove that, like, the only thing that we can confirm is, as a species, is that we are capable of thought, that, like, we are thinking. Which I find really cool, because that means that a French philosopher from the 17th century who famously published his Principles of Philosophy in 1644 said, "I think, therefore I am." So a guy from the 17th century was like, "No, for sure. Like, I can, like, I know I'm thinking. I know that I have the ability to think and process information. That's how I know I exist." Now, in today's world, there is, like, evidence that proves that that statement is true. I find that stuff so fucking fascinating. I love that stuff. It makes me very, very excited. Like, I love that stuff. It makes me super happy when, like, the science comes in to, because science, mathematics, any sort of like STEM, so like science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, they all, if you look at the great philosophers throughout the ages, throughout, it doesn't really matter what age you're talking about. If you look at any philosopher from any age, at any time period, really in any part of the world, science, technology, mathematics, engineering, anatomy and physiology, like all of those things are an integral part of philosophy and philosophical thought. And I love it. It makes me so happy because to me, that is where the intersection happens. That's where the intersection of all of those questions that we have asked throughout history, they all, not only do they all have answers, but the answers are knowable. We can know what those answers are, and those answers have questions, and those questions have answers, and we can find them out. I love that. It makes my heart happy. I love that because that's where, like, this is a pretty hot take as far as, like, it doesn't matter. It's just a hot take. To me, religion and science, mathematics, engineering, like all of those things, religion, like organized religious belief, or really any belief system that we have, is a way that we have created. It's almost like, it's like the fantasy version of how we relate to the world around us. And it's like, but it's like the fun version. Like religion is like the fun version. It can be. It's not, this isn't true in all cases, but it can, it, like, to me, that's what religion is. Like organized religious belief and religious thought is like a fun way of like trying to explain the world around you and teach you things. And science and technology and engineering and mathematics are just, to me, another way of explaining those things. It's just a matter of, like, they're just, for me, they're just two translations. They're just two different translations, but they're talking about the same things. Science is trying to come up with the answers. Science is trying to come up with the answers and, you know, prove that, you know, like we've proven that we have a soul. Like they have weighed the soul. I think it was in the 80s, the late 80s, early 90s, I want to say, when they did that. Don't quote me on that. I'm not 100% sure. But they weighed the soul. So what they did was they basically, like, they wanted to see if, you know, the question is, do we have a soul? And so what they did was they basically took somebody, like, at the moment that they died, and there was physical proof that you become physically lighter after you die. It's not by much. It's not by much. I think it's like a fifth of like an ounce, or like it's like a fifth of like a gram or something. Like it's a very, very, very minute amount that you like lose when you die. And they, but it's true for like every person that they did with this experiment. And they called that the soul. So that's what they call, so that fraction of mass that you lose when you die, that's what scientists have referred to as the soul. Like that's how they believe, like that's what that is. And it's so cool to me that like all of these things are intersecting, and they're just two different, like I, that's just sort of how I think about it. And it, because it makes the most sense to me in my brain, is that they're just two different translations trying to explain the same things just in different ways. So that's just like, so that total tangent, I rambled and like went off the base, but like that, I it's just so fun. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. But so Rene, so like that's what he said. I think, therefore I am. And so that's how he basically decided that he wanted to prove, like that was his proof, was that the reason that I know that I exist, how I know that I am real, me as an individual person, is that I think and I know that I am thinking. Therefore I am. I exist. And I don't really have a massive issue with that. I really don't have a massive issue with that idea that, like, I think, therefore I am, therefore I exist. I'm more concerned about there's gotta be a way. Like, there's just gotta be a way that we can define reality so that it encompasses everything that we need to it to encompass while, so like being general enough to where it encompasses everything that it needs to encompass, but being specific enough to where you understand that there is a difference between something and nothing, basically. And so I don't really have an issue with what he said. I think that it's probably a pretty good rationalization of, no, I think, therefore I exist. But that doesn't really tell me much about the world around me. That doesn't tell me that the reality that I'm living in is actually real. It just tells me that I, me as an individual, exists, but it says nothing about the world that I exist within. So, and the reason that I picked Rene Descartes and I think therefore I am, because he is so well known and he's probably one of the most, like I said, he's considered the father of modern day philosophy, or at least one of them, one of the grandfathers or fathers of modern philosophy. Obviously, it couldn't just be him. It doesn't say this, but I assume that's of Western culture. But that's just the reason that I picked him, is because I think that he's just probably one of the more well known, and you guys might actually have a shot at knowing what I'm talking about if I use somebody more well known rather obscure, like, say, the Kabbalah or something. But anyway, right, so tangents. But okay, so Rene Descartes, like, he did the thing. We've done all the things. Like I said, I don't really have an issue with it. It just doesn't tell me anything about, like, the world we live in. And, I mean, the reason why, like, not the main reason, but, like, part of the reason why I wanted to do this episode on reality is because, like, there's no definition. Like, it doesn't seem like there's a definition of reality that, like, is cohesive and, like, inclusive enough to that people are agreeing with. And my proof in that is that I currently reside in a country where vast amounts of people live in multiple different realities. So, like, we can't agree. Like, nobody knows, like, what is real. And so, like, I get it. Like, I understand this idea that, like, I know I exist. Okay, cool. But, like, I need to know, like, what, like, I want to know what else exists and does it, and I want a definition of reality that includes that. Like, I want to know what that means. And I think that a lot of the reason why we, not just specifically in this country, but all over the world, I think, like, we can't get along and we can't figure out, like, how to solve all these problems is because nobody can agree on what reality is. Like, nobody, like, and we don't know who to trust. Like, you don't know what to trust. You don't know what information to trust. Like, it's really confusing and it's very distressing. Again, my proof in that is that I currently reside in a country where lots of scary things are happening, you know? And that's not true exclusively for the country, for the United States. Obviously, definitely not exclusive to the United States, 100% not. But I just, and okay, and so, like, the reason that I took on this, like, ambitious idea of, like, I'm going to define what reality is. Like, okay, first of all, you can 100% be like, you're an idiot. Like, you have no business defining this at all. And, like, or, like, coming up with a definition. Fair. I don't have a PhD in philosophy. Like, I don't have any PhDs. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, 100%. I could be incredibly insane. I could just be crazy. It's entirely possible that I'm just a complete lunatic. On the off shot that I'm not, though, I would for myself like to have some sort of definition that, like, I like. Now, the reason that I sort of took on this ambitious thing was because I got really, really lucky. Like, I got super, super, super lucky. And I had a philosophy teacher when I was in college who, well, one of many, many philosophy teachers, professors, whatever, that were really, really, really good. And one specifically who I really, really loved taking classes from. we were in a class. I don't remember what it was, and I don't really even remember what the topic was that was being covered. I think it was something like love. It was something like love or define love or define faith or something. Like, it was one of those conversations. I don't remember specifically what it was, but I do remember, let's just take because we're talking about reality, let's just say it was reality. And I remember somebody sitting in this classroom going, well, you can't, like, it's undefinable because it's subjective. Like, reality is subjective to the individual. It doesn't, like, your reality, your world is different from my world. Like, we don't, like, so it's, you know, it is all relative to the individual that is a part of the conversation or being spoken about. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that makes any sense, but I say that a lot. Jesus. But my professor was like, okay, sure. Yes, I agree with you. However, I kind of feel like that's bullshit. Now, why did he think that it was bullshit? Because he, much like me, was like, but there's gotta be a definition. Like, just because, like, there have been so, like I said, there have been so many people throughout history. It doesn't matter, like, throw a dart at a map of the planet and there will be a philosopher that has, like, come up at some point in time in history at wherever that dart lands, like, of a definition and that, like, sustained for, like, a while. Like, we still have documentation. Like, just pick a place. And so he was like, yeah, but there's got to be a universal definition. There's got to be a definition of, say, reality that people can agree on. Because if we don't know what it is, like, if there's no definition for what it is, then it's kind of fair game. It's kind of just fair game for everybody to define it themselves, which I don't have an issue with. I have absolutely no issue with everybody defining what these things are for themselves. I encourage you to do that. Absolutely, I encourage you to do that. Because if you don't have a definition for it, then it's like, then not even you know what yourself is talking about. So while I'm with him on the fact that, like, I agree that, like, a lot of it is subjective, there's still got it. Like, to me, that's kind of a bullshit answer because it's a cop out. It's basically, like, to me, what I hear when somebody says, well, it's subjective. I hear, while to a certain extent it is subjective, to me it's a cop-out because it's like, I just, what I hear when somebody says that is, I don't want to think that hard. Like, I don't want to work that, like, that's too much work. I don't want to work that hard. So it's easier if I just say, well, it's subjective. Like, that's what I hear. And like I said, while I agree with you that stuff, that there are things like love and, you know, like, reality and happiness and, like, all of these things that are, do have subjective aspects to them. While, yes, that is true, there also, I refuse to accept this idea that there's no way that a universal definition that we could, that can't exist, that we can all collectively, like, agree upon. And the challenge is you have to be inclusive enough to include everyone and everything. Like, that's where the challenge, at least for me, comes in, is where, like, it has to be worded in a way to where you understand what is being talked about while also being general enough to encompass everything that you need to, like, to have the big umbrella. Kind of a thing. Like, that's my brain. Is it? Yeah. And like I said, it wasn't reality that we were talking about. I'm just using that as an example for this context, for this episode specifically. But yeah, like, it just, so, like, that's kind of where my brain is at, where I'm like people will tell me, like, well, it's subjective. Yes. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Also, though, like, there's got to be a way, you guys. Like, there's got to be. There's no way out of every language in the world that every possible language that has ever been conceived in history. You're telling me there's no way that somebody can't find the words to create a definition that we can all agree upon as to what reality is? Like, you're telling me there's no way. No way. I disagree. Like, I disagree. That's not possible. There's no way that you're going to have a very, very, very hard time convincing me that it can't be done. So that's kind of where I am with that. Now let's get to my definition. So all of that being said, I did define it for myself. And I will share that definition with you guys now. Now, I will say this, just to kind of preface it. I am not super, super thrilled with my definitions, because I have two, but I'm not super thrilled with them. On the scale of, like, how would I rank my definition, I would say, like, as of right now, like, it's good enough. Like, it's good enough to where I feel comfortable, like, telling you guys what the definition is. Like, I'm confident enough that, like, it's at least semi-okay and, like, you'll understand what I'm trying, like, what I'm talking about. However, my definition is not, like, there yet, so to speak. Like, it's not, I'm not overly excited and, like, happy with it. Like, it's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, it's good enough. It's not quite there yet. It's just not, I'm not married to these definitions, if that makes sense. And by that, I mean, like, I have no real attachment to these definitions, so I'm willing to let it be fluid. I need it to be fluid right now with these definitions, because not even I am super, super happy with the definition. Like I said, they're just kind of good enough. And I'm giving room to allow myself to improve the definitions a lot, because I do think that they, while they're good enough for now, they're not, like, in my opinion, perfect or, like, there yet. Like, it doesn't quite capture exactly what I'm trying to say, but it's like, yeah, it's like good enough, you know? So keep that in mind too when you listen to them. Okay, so just a little bit about, so like I said earlier in the episode, first, in order for me to define what reality is, I needed to know kind of the history. And like I said, the history of it and all the stuff, senses, right? You understand, you know that you're in reality and that things around you are real because of your senses. You can touch them, you can see them, you can taste them, you can hear them, you can, you get it. You get the idea. Smell them, whatever. So you get the idea. Now, my issue with that is that I've had dreams. I've had very, very, very lucid dreams before where in the dream it feels real. I've had dreams where I didn't realize that I was dreaming until I, like, woke up in my bed. I've also had dreams where I know that I'm dreaming, but everything still feels real. If I pick up a cup in the dream, it feels like I'm holding a cup. I think, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've had dreams that feel very, very, very real in those moments. And sometimes I know it's a dream and sometimes I don't. And so that's sort of my issue with the whole senses thing. Like, the ability, like, you know, everything is real because you can touch it, you can see it, you can taste it, you can smell it, you can hear it, like, all of those things. There are more, but you get the idea. So, like, that's my issue with that definition, because I have had dreams where I'm like, yeah, okay, so, yeah, you guys get it. So I first decided that I needed to define what a dream was. Because if I can define what a dream is, then reality is just like the opposite of that. Like, it's just the flip side to that coin. And so I'm comparing a dream with reality in order to get those two definitions. So keep that in mind. So my definition for a dream, again, take this with a grain of salt. They're good enough. Okay. They're just good enough. A dream is a concept that operates in a plane of existence without perceived consequences by other entities. So basically all I'm trying to say there is that a dream operates like when you're dreaming, or so like when you're dreaming, anything that happens within this dream, there are no real consequences for actions that are being taken. Meaning like if you drop a cup in a dream, it may shatter, it may not. Like if you have a glass cup in a dream and you drop it, it may or may not shatter. You can hold that cup. It can feel like you're holding that cup. But if you drop it, the action of dropping it doesn't necessarily mean that the cup is going to break. It could, for all you know, go through the floor in a dream. There aren't consequences that have impact it doesn't affect anything else in the dream. Like if I drop a cup in what would be considered like the real world and it shatters on the ground, if I have a glass cup in my hand and I drop it on the ground and it shatters into a million pieces, well, I have dogs. So I have to then, you know, corral the dogs into a place where they're not going to step on glass. And then I have to sweep the floor and vacuum and get down on my hands and knees and wash the tile and, you know, make sure I get every little thing because inevitably I probably won't get all of it. And somebody, me or my husband, will inevitably step on a micro piece of glass or something like that. Like that's what I mean by like have an impact. Like it does, if you drop a glass cup in a dream, it may break, it may not. It may go through the floor. It may not. In the dream, you're not corralling the dogs or, you know, I'm not in a dream going, well, now I have to, you know, clean. I have to spend the next 30 minutes cleaning this up. Like that's not, there's no impact. If you just drop a cup in a dream, the dream keeps going. Like you just kind of ignore it and move on. Like, but in the real world, what would be considered the real world, that's not what happens. So there are consequences. There are that have impact on other and the reason I chose entities is because it doesn't, you know, dogs aren't humans, but they're still alive and they still carry it. Like it still has an impact on my dogs if I drop a glass cup on the ground. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not just going to like, yeah, come on through. I just dropped a glass cup. Let's see who gets cut. Like that's not what's going to happen. You know, it's like, so it has an impact on their lives as well. So my definition for reality, as you might guess, is the physical state of a concept that exists in a plane with consequences. So it's when you drop the glass cup in this reality, there are consequences to you and the other entities involved. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. But like I said, I'm not 100%, I'm not married to these definitions. Like I have no real attachment. They're pretty fluid. So just like keep that in mind. I will probably at some point do, like if I ever decide, I mean, I definitely will decide to come up with a better definition, like one that I like more. And I'll keep you guys updated on that. But yeah, so like that's where we are with that. If that makes sense. Yeah. stay tuned for next week when we talk to Deep Meaningful Conversations. You guys, I talked a lot. I talked like a lot. I felt so bad. I talked so much. I felt like I dominated and like hijacked the conversation. And like just talked super, super much. I also sound like a crazy person with what I'm talking about. It's fine. We all know I'm insane. It's fine. But we all had fun. So I did, at least. I had so much fun. I had a blast talking to them. So stay tuned next week. Strap in, because I like nerd the fuck out and I talk a lot. And I felt kind of bad. I felt like really bad, but it's fine. They said it was fine. They said it was okay. And that they had a good time and that it was a good conversation. So, so we're going to, you know, it's going to be fine. So I hoped you guys liked that. Like I said, I tried not to go too deep down the rabbit hole because I still wanted you guys to like understand what I was talking about and like and who I was talking about. I didn't want to make a whole bunch of like super obscure references. But if you want some of those super obscure references, or you're interested in like a topic that I could cover more like on a philosophical level like this for an episode, or you think I'm in crazy, you know, you think I live in crazy town. Or you think that like I talk too much or that I'm way off base and have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm just making shit up. Email me. Absolutely. Email me. Or if you have your own definition and you want to share that with me, that would be amazing. That would be so cool. Email me. manapixieweirdo@protonmail.com. Twitter, @mpweirdopodcast. Instagram, the_main_weirdo1. The Pinterest is the_main_weirdo2. We are now on, not only are we on Cash App, the cash tag is the main weirdo, but we are also, I just set up the Buy Me a Coffee. I don't know really how that works very well, but I wanted to do that first instead of the Patreon because I'm still trying to get the Patreon like figured out and like I'm trying to decide what I want to do with it. But so now we've got the Buy Me a Coffee and it's just the Manic Pixie Weirdo podcast. The main weirdo, as usual. I'll keep links and stuff in the description. So just keep that in mind. But oh my gosh, I had so much fun talking to you guys about this. So have a good day, guys. And as always, be kind and stay weird. Love y'all. Bye.